You're listening to the Yeshiva of Newark podcast. I'm your host and curator, Rabbi Avram Kivalevich, and I hope you enjoy this episode. With downloads approaching the million mark and an archival library numbering in the thousands, the Yeshiva of Newark podcast has been striving to continuously upgrade our content, professionalize our audio sound, along with altering approaches in light of much appreciated listener feedback. I firmly believe the niche has been carved out that resonates with many on the wide spectrum of observant Jews. This explains why we continually rank high in independent online lists of top yeshiva podcasts. That proud edifice is in real danger of toppling and disappearing. We need the help of our listeners to continue to record and edit, to promote a product that has been a balm and instructor to so many. Just $36. As a minimum donation from 1,000 of you out there will keep us afloat as a Newark of straight, intelligent, humorous discussion, lectures, debate, and inquiry, while the destructive waters of ignorance and identity politics, cyberbullying, crash around us. Your generous contributions will seal and galvanize this ark till it comes to a satisfying rest in an era of Moyer Tzdeya, heralding Mashiach, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen.
2 years ago, after Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh, Baruch Hu, was nifter, Rav Kalman Wartsch and I sat down together and spoke about what we called at that time the hesped that needed to be said. We called the program the tectonic collapse of Torah. There's a lot of raw feeling, emotion, and hurt, and yet I think insight and understanding. We offered again now Ilui Nishmas, and as I said on the program, it almost seems redundant to speak about Ilui Nishmas Rav Chaim, as he was indeed a symbol of Bein HaKruvim itself.
The greatness of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. What do you say? Stories? He's greater than those stories. What do you say? He knew Torah? He knew Torah beyond what we understand Torah means. And you know, for me, this is my hero, right? When we talk about someone who was kol kulo Torah, he was plugged in. I think you said this last night. You were saying this to me that he's a part of the Torah. He's an expression of the Torah. He's the symbol of the Torah. He was a gadol hador that was different, a different kind of gadol hador. I know that. There were great tzaddikim, and chas v'shalom, none of this is to take away from any of the other gedolim. But it feels like we've lost a piece of the Torah itself. I just watched the Yeridas Hadoras. I watched the generation fall from a world that contained in it Reb Chaim Kanievsky to a world where Reb Chaim Kanievsky is no longer in it. And it's a lesser world and a lesser Torah, and I don't know if I feel like everyone needs to be heartbroken. A number of people asked me, should we tear Kriya? And I said we should, but we don't. Like if there ever was a gadol universally, I mean, the people who are lost in the politics, it's unfortunate because it gets in their way of understanding the greatness of what we've just lost. But universally, when you've got a great rabbi and you've got a great Rosh Hashiva and you've got, you know, there are factions. And factions doesn't mean that the others don't appreciate him. They just don't have that level of connection. The entire Jewish people, I want to say is like, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu, but there's a Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation. And the way I said this to you last night, I want to say this again. I feel like we should, all of Kol Yisrael, should experience the loss of Reb Chaim Kanievsky like the generation of Rabbi Akiva when they lost Rabbi Akiva. Chaim Kanievsky is not Rabbi Akiva, of course. He was a Tanner. Chaim Kanievsky lived in our world. But in our generation, it should be that kind of pain. We lost the Sar HaTorah. He's the master of Torah.
Right. You know, here's Rabbi Akiva being chaylik with Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva is being chaylik with Rabbi Shmuel, right? And it's clear that when we discuss the machlekes as a person learning the daf, being mamik in the sugya, writing a chiddush, we understand that this is a deya. There can be a machlekes. We might paskin against Rabbi Akiva. We might hold lahalocha not like him. We recognize, and in fact, we're mechuyev to see the tanoim each representing a solid way of understanding. We actually do a disservice to our learning if we don't. All that being said, right, if it's Machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Ozer ben Azariah in terms of when is the Zman of Achilas Korban Pesach, right? Oh, we got to be Machmer, Rabbi Ozer ben Azariah. We got to be Machmer to eat it before. What do you mean? You have Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says it's called Alayla, right? No. It's Rabbi Ozer ben Azariah. Why? The Gemara itself says that when Doisa ben Hurkanus met the two of them, he said, "Oi, Azariah Otakind, Azariah, Zeb ben Azariah, yo." When Rabbi Kiva walks in, Akiva Sheshimcha Oilech, Mi Asaifa Oilem, Ad Saifa Oilem,
right? Right.
So here you have, so in halacha, we said, oh, maybe Rakiva's wrong. Oh, the Raya's ribbles of Nazariah brings are starker. Oh, we have to be Machmir. Yeah, Chas v'Shalom, you should definitely be Mamar on the Seder. Right? What do you mean, Mamar on the Seder? You have Rabbi Kiva. Norvos. I think there's a dichotomy here. And I think the dichotomy is what you're sort of touching on. We know that there was areas where Rav Chaim, you know, we would find psukim from other paiskim. You know, the outfit that I work for, you know, Dirshu, did a great job collecting from, and we'll talk about Rav Chaim and his Sefarim and Halacha in a minute, but there's many places where Rav Chaim in Psak is different than Betzion Abashol, he's different than Rav Shlomo Zalman, he's different than Ishver even, etc. And in terms of Psak, we have to realize we have to be shoykel, right? And maybe bidoche. But on the other hand, the same way we have to look and say, but who is the one that Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, Yesh Chodem Kazeh, Vata Reitzelit Ein Toyer Al Yodai? He didn't say it about Elazar ben Azariah. He didn't say it even about Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus, right? He said about Rabbi Kiva. So on one hand, we have this, we have to say, well, does that mean everything that he said is beyond argument? No. Is everything that he said not part of the Lachak process? Of course not. It's not like Mimoshe Misinai. On the other hand, it's an ish that it's klar, despite the fact that many of the Tanoim had a head start on Rabbi Akiva, who was 40 years waiting till he jumped in. Rabbi Kiva represents more in terms of the sheer number of Talmidim who Messiachas after him, and in terms historically about what Torah is. And that, I think, is part of what you're talking about. You know, that Reb Chaim, as I said to you yesterday, it's Torah is gone. It's not a genius who learned Torah, you know. Reb Chaim Zimmerman was probably as big of a genius as Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Zimmerman. I mean, who am I to know what geniuses are? But I've heard about Reb Chaim Zimmerman's genius, right? Here's a genius who got into learning, right? A man who was mechunin with the genius kishroynos, and he put them into Torah and bin vaxtos to be this incredible cup, right? You know, even I would again the Ragachover. It's hard because of who he is, but the Ragachover, right? Reb Chaim isn't just a genius. Rav Chaim, you know, it's almost like his personality and his mind are inconsequential here, right? He, all of those things fade away, as I said before. He is a cheftz of Torah. He's a mamash a cheftz of Torah. And I think that that doesn't mean, you know, obviously he was not a poisek in the same way his Shver was, or some or others of his dor were. Yet his deya, and what he was saying was, it was almost like you were coming to the, I would say it was more than like the Chazon Ish said about the Mishnah Berurah. It's like the Sanhedrin Melishkas Hagozes. I would say it's more like Bein HaKruvim. You know what I'm saying? It's more like Dibra Mibein HaKruvim than it is Melishkas Hagozes.
Right. Seeing, for example, I know, well, maybe we'll save this, the Mishnah Berurah, and it is used for Psak Halacha in terms of people, you know, practically in Eretz Yisrael and whatever in that way, but it doesn't have that same, you know, universal acceptance of the Mishnah Berurah and its appreciation. But yeah, your Reb Chaim is bigger than his Sfarim even.
Right. Well, yes and no. I'm going to say that the Sfarim, you know, that he really worked on, whether it's the Nachal Eisan or it's the right, those Sfarim in many ways indicate, first of all, the incredible anivus of Reb Chaim, that he said, I want to contribute in areas that need my work, right? It's almost like he recognized his incredible kishroinus, right? But again, Hishver, of course, was the Dayan in the Rabbanut. Everybody, he was the address everyone needed for Piskei Halacha. And we'll talk about the other similarity in my lifetime of Rav Moshe's Ptira. I see Rabbi Yoshev and Rav Shlomo Zalman in many ways being mashlim that role where Klal Yisrael needed the most difficult shilas to be mavar al pi oimek adin, and that is where Hishver and Rav Shlomo Zalman and others stood out. I think with Rav Chaim it was almost like Torah is missing something. We need harchava in Zroim. The Rambam, this is now the mafteach to make the Rambam come alive, to make Hilchas Dvar Matuim Ba'aretz come alive. But it did more than that. Not only did it give people a practical way to not just say, oh, a guide to Shemitah, a guide to Trumas and Maestras, it also allowed them to download their learning into the Lamaisa, because ultimately, you know as well as I do, the failure of the Shmirah Shabbos Kehilchos isn't the fact that it's written in modern Hebrew. The fact is that it's sort of like it doesn't follow the derech of standard Sfarim that go from the Makairis into life.
It's a handbook. It's a practical handbook. Right, that's meant to be a practical handbook. Right. Right?
But that's what it is. I agree. So you could follow it and say, okay, this is what I have to do. But in order to live it, in order to live the learning and now experience it, you sort of feel a disconnect because of the way Rav Neubert, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, wrote it. He knew he needed it for that door. What Rav Chaim did with the Derech Amunah is you can now go from the Rambam straight into Mitzvah Satulias Baritz, and you don't feel like, well, the filter of the handbook. You actually feel that Rav Chaim has brought you over. He's allowed you to immerse yourself in the Rambam, and he's dealt with every possible Hechi Timtza, plus in the Beir Halachas, the incredible Bikias. But as I told you last night, when we contrasted him to Chochem Avadya, right? You look at Chochem Avadya's Maroches, and you say, wow, oh, my head is spinning from so much Bikias, right? There's, look at all these Achraim that he's quoted. Yeah, okay, look, at the end of the day, it's what he does with them, the way he works with them, what his sons, Reb David and Chacham Yitzchak, what they have done, extending that's all incredible. And you marvel at he knows the Torah Yekutiel, this Sfardi, and he also has this the Rav Avram Philagia, how he says different than Rokhain Philagia, right? Okay, all of that is like, wow, whoever heard of such Pekias? That's so incredible, it's like mind-blowing. But you know what? It's a trick, almost. It is brilliant, and it is fantastic. But what Rav Chaim did was he had an innate understanding. Okay, I'm going to give you the Rambam. I know that in this thing, there's also a Rashba in Gittin that's a little bit different. I also know, again, there's the Ritva over there. There's also, you can find the Rav Yon, the Or Zeruah, all Yesodas Dika Rishonim that are relevant to this topic, and spinning them and explaining them without getting into Marochas, without getting into the next paragraph, being able to really, with an economy of language, being able to not only make the Rambam come to life, to make you, to allow you to live as a Torah Yid who understands Hilchos Hatulyos Baretz from the Makairos. So in many ways, the challenge that happened to Rav Chaim on the Derech Amunah was in many ways larger than the challenge that the Mishnah Berurah had. The Mishnah Berurah basically had already Prima Godims and maybe even the Alter Rebbe and others that had already begun to sort of like streamline the Shulchan Aruch into Chaim. What he needed to do was to put on his editing glasses and his incredible understanding of which Achronim make the most sense, which ones to be Docha, who to include that perhaps with the new Rishonim that appeared that needed to be, and I'm not dismissing the enormity of what the Chafetz Chaim did, but Rav Chaim had to do something much, in many ways, greater than that. Because no one had been practicing Hilchos Atulias Paritz. There was really, in a way, there wasn't like, Ayin Baprima Godim, you know, Shadocha, El Yoraba, Ayin Maiserav. None of that stuff was around. Rav Chaim really had to invent how practical, how you could practically.
Right. I mean, you still have the Chaznish, but yeah, the gap that he bridged is incredible.
Right. And that way, I believe it's hard to say. Listen, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has written, I think, eloquently. I mean, he gave a rationale as to why the Chafetz Chaim was gifted with such a beautiful ability to write that has stood the test of time. And he has a theory about that. It comes with his Shmiras Adibur. I don't know if I necessarily subscribe to that, but there's definitely something that can be said about the Chafetz Chaim's segula. And Rav Chaim has that as well, more than his father, even, I think. He is able to, and when you read it, it's like, oh, this is the, when I read Chacham Avadya, I am like, once again, oh boy, he was so incredible. I'm reading Derech Emunah, this is Torah. And I'm saying, this is the next page of Torah, right? It's not the person, as I've said before, the person is not really essential here. It's not like, once more, Rav Chaim's genius. No, this Rav Chaim exists to be Mashlem Achelik of Torah. And here's how he did it with the Derech Emunah. This is how he does it. And you want the
Masechta.
Right. You want Masechtas Ktanos? Masechtas Ktanos, which are, okay, there's a, who knows what sort of Biurim from the Marat Sloan, whatever. Okay, you want Masechtas Ktanos explained with Lamdas? Here they are. Rav Chaim does that for you.
Riziel Amalach. I love his Pirush on Riziel Amalach. It's
Well, you could even say, even the Kiryas Melech, right? Which is, you know, just Meir Mekayim. Like, what?
Shein Halachas, yeah.
Right. How young was he when he worked on the Kiryas Melech? I think he was in his 20s when he worked on it. The Shaul Lieberman suggested it for the Israel Prize because he was so, again, and Lieberman. Lieberman's another example of a Zimmerman, an incredible brain, a genius. Shein Kamayu. You know, it's close. Put it this way, but Tosefta Kipshuta, and Lieberman's Tosefta is also similar to Rav Chaim in terms of every Myra Mokum, everything that he quotes is Tzimzach. And Lieberman, who had his problems as a human being and in terms of the compromises he made, saw a kindred power, a spirit within Rav Chaim, which was, yeah, look at the curious. Now again, did the Rambam, here's the brilliance here. Was the Rambam miskaven to all those Meir Mekayimus, you know, the Zohar and other things that he sometimes mentions? You know, here it's almost like the scholar in me wants to, oh, come on. I mean, you're right. That Lashon is very similar to this Farvarfin and Medrash that you happen to know of. Is this the Mokar and what the Rambam was mistamich on? I know Rav Chaim probably believed that. I mean, I'm somewhat skeptical, but to
I'll take the compromising position, which is a famous vart. Wherever the Zohar knew it from, that's where I knew it from too.
Yeah.
Right, meaning that because the Rambam is Torah, so right. Therefore it will coincide with Torah. And Rav Chaim may be pointing to you. It doesn't have to be a source if they coincide.
To be able to have Kol HaTorah Kula open in front of you. But here's the thing: what Kol HaTorah Kula open in front of you? Rav Chaim's Makairis are in a way a warning shot to us You know, these are fundamental. You know what I'm saying? Rav Chaim is basically operates within fundamental, you know, midrashim, every aspect of Chazal that Shaykh, in terms of, you know, and we know many of his psalkim were based on, oh, you know, it's a psikta, it's a metrash, right? Many of his things were based on his rediscovering of Chazal, rediscovering of statements, bringing them back, right? Telling people if they had a suffix or a shayla, he said, oh, it's a bavusta, it's a medrash rabba, oh, it's a Yerushalmi, whatever it was, as opposed to saying, oh, it's a Galda school from the Shpol Yezeda, you know, that you should know. What he would do is he would actually, you know, put a twist sometimes on a Chazal, but really in a way be matzil, that Chazal, be able to show you that how that you don't really need anything else. He didn't need anything else. He didn't need anything, right? He didn't need anything.
You should be able to look in the Torah and answer questions, and because it's there, and you don't need to make a big pilpul out of it if you know the whole Torah, right? That's
right. Whereas Poskim, let me just make this point. Poskim, including Rabbi Yashim and others, okay. Do you know every Truvas Chasam Sofer, right? First, for example, when he gives smicha, you know, he has a Kabbalah. You have to test people on Truvas Chasam Sofer that they should know, right? I don't, you know, I know he quotes some ciphers, Rav Chaim, but my point is that Rav Chaim didn't necessarily use the library of everyone else, right? That's not what he built himself from. He was familiar enough with that when he needed to be, but it wasn't like, okay, you know, do I have my Marash angle, right? Do I have, you know, what I need to like, well, that's my suitcase of psak. That's not the way Rav Chaim worked, and that is something which I think makes him extremely unique. And again, he didn't call himself a Pesach, but his yedia in Torah was in many ways it's a challenge, because I don't know if anybody else can really do it. Was he a savant in memory? Is that what it was? Or was he almost not? It's almost like shikha and chet, like didn't really resonate. It didn't occur to him, right?
I'm afraid to say this, but it didn't seem like that kind of person can have a yetzirah.
That's what I mean. It's almost like he was a matana from Shemayim. To be
I would say Matana Shemayim, he turned himself into a Matana Mishamayim, because he didn't need to be that way. He chose and put in the work to become. That's what makes him the Gadol. Let me say something. This is a reflection. I don't even know if it's accurate, but I felt like listening to the Hespedim that maybe. Say this correctly. Maybe the people who were maspid him had their own rabbeim. They were students of Rabbi Aaron Cutler, and they lost Rabbi Aaron Cutler. And maybe they felt when they lost Rabbi Aaron Cutler the way I feel at losing Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. And say it like this: they've already felt it. For my generation. We grew up, Reb Chaim Kanievsky was the Gadol Ador, he's the Sara Torah, he learns Torah. And as I was saying to you, parallel to my life, from my childhood all through today, Reb Chaim Kanievsky was there learning and growing and becoming greater and greater and greater in Torah. And it was part of our lives, whether we felt it or not. It was part of our lives, and it's devastating. And I don't think our generation understands what the world felt when we lost Rav Moshe, because it had already happened.
Yeah.
And we hear the words, but it's ain't a daima. It's ain't a daima.
100%.
And we did lose Rav Avadia, as I think it's a good, but this is different. I it's not a greater or less. We're not measuring.
Gifted and energized and directed their identity. Whereas Rav Chaim was what was pointed to for children and young adults and older adults like yourself, that was Torah, as opposed to Chacham Avadya, generated a revolution. Chacham Avadya pushed a certain approach. Chacham Avadya, and therefore Chacham Avadya was a real leader in the complete total sense of the term. It's not that I feel led by Rav Chaim. You feel led by Rav Chaim. You feel that Rav Chaim represents the paragon of what your life is supposed to be about. And now, if your life was only in books and would only be Rabbi Akiva or the Vilna Gaon or the Noda Behuda that isn't around here in this world, you would feel that, you would feel sort of helpless. You would feel like you're sort of scratching at something and you're sort of like imagining a Torah existence for yourself. The fact that Rav Chaim lives, the fact that Rav Chaim is there, the fact that Rav Chaim is doing is what gives you and gave your generation the sense that Torah is a reality in this world. And here is that representative of Torah. And I think that's part of what you're missing. I think that's what is, and look, I was, I have spoken often about how I felt when Rav Moshe passed away. And I would say again, from what I've read, because some of this is before I was born, I would say the four that we could put together here, without saying that they were greater than others of the generation, which includes the Ragachover and Rav Meir Simcha and Rav Aaron and others that were so brilliant. Chofetz Chaim, Chazon Ish, Rav Moshe, and Rav Chaim. Those four, you can imagine that was this sense of a Dor Yosem. Now, what are you talking
about? And I want to point out that, as like you said before with the Sfardim, different communities to Chabad, the loss of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, to many of the Hasidim, the loss of the Satmar Rebbe, in that world, and then the Yeshiva world, the loss of Rabbi Yaakov and Rav Gifter to their pockets, to their communities, to the places, to their Talmidim, and by extension to all of Klal Yisrael, but it doesn't feel like it's the same effect on the generation. Again, without comparing.
Right. And again, this gets into what we started with Rabbi Akiva again, right? Does that mean we always machria like the Chazon Ish? Could it be that Shlomo Zalman was right in some of his machliksim about electricity with the Chazon Ish? Yeah, I think in many places he was, right? Again, in Erevin, do we say that the Chelkas Yaakov was correct in his machliksim? Yes, we can get into that, and we should. But we still have to realize, the Chazon Ish in terms of what he did in terms of creating the idea of a Ben Torah in Eretz Yisrael was staggering, and the Chofetz Chaim, of course, he wasn't, we know that many like Baruch Be'er and others were nifter in those years before the war, and I think with the Chofetz Chaim's Ptira was so shocking to people because again it sort of heralded the unknown. And I think that's part of what you're feeling as well. I'll talk about Rav Moshe more in a minute. The difference between Rav Moshe and the way I felt and what I think Rav Moshe versus Rav Chaim. But I think with the Chofetz Chaim's Ptira, when it occurred, I think part of the idea was there was a sense of dread in general from 1933 on. He dies in 1935. Rav Kook is nifter soon after and others. But you have this sense of the Rabbeinu Shalom is taking away. He took Torah away. What is going to happen? And I think many people see that, it isn't just HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mistalik these tzaddikim, so they shouldn't see the Zam. It's like this was part of the emptying out of Klal Yisrael. This is part, and I think that's part of the dread that I think people are feeling with Rav Chaim gone. Right. Okay. It's not, there isn't jackboots on the ground. But 2 years of Corona, right? The invasion of the Ukraine, Rav Chaim gone. Yeah, I think there is a sense that.
I don't want to confuse this with all the other things happening in the world. Like again, that could just be me. To me, this is so devastating because this is my gadol. This is my gadol.
I understand.
And he left, and he's gone, and there's no one to replace him. I don't care what else is happening in the world.
But you have to admit, Kalman, though, that it does layer the dread. I think thicker than it had been. The idea of what the Rebbeinu Shem wants from us, we believed if Rav Chaim is around.
I don't know if I'm in a place to make such calculations.
But didn't you?
Where's Rav Chaim? That's what I want to know. Where is he?
Right. Okay. So look, I think.
Vayidom. I don't know what to say. I don't know how anyone could bear the burden. And I understand the Rabbanim said yesterday, they said that. They said we can't be masked with him, but there's also a prohibition of being misatzel by Spader Shel Chacham. You can't not say anything. You can't just shirk the responsibility. And so you got to say what you got to say. But you could see that it's almost like people were leaving out this expression because they felt that saying more would be inadequate.
Yeah, obviously, like we say about the Rabbanim Shalom, look, you wonder about this. I did think about it. You know, Rav Steinman, prepared a tzavo about what he wanted and what, right? We didn't have a similar statement from Rav Chaim saying, no, be maspid me, right? It's interesting
He's so humble. These things, he wouldn't have time to think about it. Instead of writing a tzavo, he could learn few more Daf Gemara. You know, it's like he wasn't bothered by who cares what they say, whatever. It wasn't important. Because that's what it means. It was called Kula Torah. Like everything that you asked him was to him. You may have been asking him a personal question, a political, whatever you were asking him. He's telling you what the Torah says. That's what he's speaking. He's just Torah.
Where he sees Chazal actually referring to that. You know, there's so much from Rav Chaim, but they wanted to put out a new edition of Psikta de Rav Kahana, and there was a discussion as to whether they should use Buber's, Shlomo Buber's footnotes and his Ha'ora. And the new edition was being worked on by a team of Talmid HaChomim, and they came to Rav Chaim to ask his Chavas Das about this. And Rav Chaim looks, they asked him, he says, Mishnah Berurah Brengtem. So they said, what? He says, yeah. So he went over to the shelf, he took out Chelek Dalid, the Mishnah Berurah, and he went to Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. And in the Shaar HaTzion, he mentions, he says, I am Psikta Rav Kahana, Mumasha Kosam Hamad Yerusham. So yeah, right away. Right? So the point is that, yeah, right? In other words,
I think that's a wonderful story because it just shows you how far he was all above the silliness of the people who aren't completely Torah.
Right, right. You know, even though those are fine, I mean, Chacham were working day and night.
Yeah, but they're not completely Torah.
Right.
They're 90%. Like Rabbi Chanan said, he said to everyone in the room, you're 70% Das Torah, you're 50% Das Torah. But you're not 100% Das Torah, so you're not Das Torah. Rav Chaim is 100% Das Torah. He didn't know it, and he knew it. He knew it. So yeah, of course, Mr. Berurah Brengtem.
That's right. So that ends the question. Don't get into whether Buber was frum or not, whether he wore a yarmulke or not. Right? That doesn't make a difference. Okay. Yeah, his grandson is this a philosopher. Yeah, Gatenishton.
Well, listen, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote the grandson.
Right. Doesn't make a difference. Right. So in other words, in many ways, he really cleared the clutter from a lot of the pasnish and busomantiyah, right? Shilas about, ways have great similarity. Rav Moshe wrote a lot But if you look at the Kisvei Chofetz Chaim, I mean, look at the amount that he was writing in Hagos, and you know, he was an incredibly. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave him a very gift, as I said before, from Shmuel.
Look what the Chofetz Chaim did to Lashon Hara, right? Now, I'm not talking about the movement. I'm talking about the Sefer.
That's what, right? Yeah, of course.
And the Chofetz Chaim. How do you write so much on one subject?
Right, and and then he goes back to it. It says Zachar Lemiriam, and then all these other, which he felt like Rav Chaim, although in a different way, the Dor needs these little Sfarim. The Dor needs a safer Machne Yisrael for the soldiers. The Dor needs Nidche Yisrael. The Dor needs this. I'm going to write this safer, and he had a little help on many of them, but he was incredibly how much he was producing and writing them, and in that way there's a similarity to Rav Chaim. If we talk about the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe, you know, they really are quite different now. But in terms of how we felt, I think part of it was let me say it clearly. First of all, the balance, the complete total imbalance had not yet occurred between America and Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, it was clear, had the bigger lamdonim. There was not the distractions of American life there. But there was still the miflat of so many of the European Rosh Hashivas and Rabbonim were in America. So there was still an incredible, aristocratic Torah presence here. It was significant.
Rebakov, Rav Utner.
Right. And Rav Hankin, and even Rav Volk, and Rav Pelev, Rav Kanov, all the Rashivas in Yeshiva University and other places, Rav Eliachazan, Rav Ruderman. So there was.
Soloveitchik, setting aside the politics.
Right. So, in a way, although people realized Eretz Yisrael was definitely the ascending and was going to outstrip us, by even in 1986, when Rav Moshe was nifter, it was not, the balance hadn't shifted so completely. And therefore, there really was, although people like Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yoshev knew that this is a shaila only Rav Moshe can answer, Rav Moshe's death at the time was very much, I believe, although, we're going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, he's coming, he's the great God. They did not feel in Eretz Yisrael the yachas that the whole world felt to Rav Chaim. The Bnei Agoila and the Yoidim in Eretz Yisrael knew the address of Rav Moshe. But a lot of those kids that were growing up in the 1950s and 60s, the Yerushalmi Jabber kids who were going to Hebron and becoming Harifa Dikka, new Rosh Hashivas, they knew about Igros Moshe. Did they know about Dibros Moshe? Did they even know that the only place you could get it was on FDR Drive? And they didn't even sell it in the Sfarim stores, that you had to go to Rav Moshe's house and you had to talk to Rav Moshe in order to get the Sefer. It was true, by the way, about the Stiper's Sfarim too. You had to go to the Stiper's house. You had to go to the Stiper's house to get it. He didn't just want to be mispashed and the Sefer Rimon Paretz. A lot of the Gishmaka little Sfarimach that the Stiper wrote on these interesting and Yonim, Shiurei Torah and other stuff like that, which you can see, where Rav Chaim got the beginnings of it from. So Rav Moshe's Ptira, I think, was very much a Golos Churban for America. And it left such a halal, because how the world cannot exist without Rav Moshe Feinstein. That was our feeling. And to die on Erev Purim, there's no, how can we have a Purim without Rav Moshe? It was impossible. How could you have a Purim without Rav Moshe? How could you have a Yiddishkeit without Rav Moshe? That is how, it wasn't like, now true, Rav Moshe, and we could go into two sections here. Rav Moshe was, I guess, in a way, a reluctant leader, but he knew he had to go to these conventions. He knew he had to put on the top hat. He knew that he had to speak there. Right, he knew that he had to sit at the Mayetzes conventions, and he knew that he had to give the Naumim. He also realized what America was going through. Like the Chofetz Chaim, he understood incredibly the Hamoin. I don't believe. So let me just say one thing: Rav Chaim was the Churban for the whole world, because we all, not just you, but we all, even us older people, realized that that's the address. Even Reb David Feinstein, who to us was an incredible shtiller goyin and really, in a way, a remnant of Moshe, would say, he says, I'm not Rav Chaim. He says, I can't do what Rav Chaim Kanievsky does. That's what he would say. He says, I can't, I heard him say that. I can't do what Rav Chaim does. And therefore, I think it is. On the other hand, Rav Chaim was mufka from real, like I'm making a bechira to be a leader, as Rav Moshe did. And go. He was like his uncle. The Chazon Ish hated that. And the Chazon Ish, you know, like reluctant, very reluctantly assumed it, but he did not involve himself in, You know, he's part of this maimed or that maimed. Rav Moshe had to do it because he realized it was necessary to coalesce the community. However, really, again, Rav Moshe was about a derech and psak halacha. As you said last night, when we talked about, if you look at the Dibros and even many places in the Igros, a mahalach in thinking about learning, an incredibly original way, and with muscles that had not been shown in psak halacha for hundreds of years, till maybe the Noda Behuda had that type of muscles, meaning I'm about to pass on all these shilas, and you haven't heard Svaras like this, but I'm going to be
the shoulders that Rav Moshe took on to declare counter, so to speak, to the approach of the rest of the Torah scholars of the world, who are very insistent on a certain way. And he said, you're all wrong. I know you've got ideas, but they're all based on your biases and in what things should look like. But you know, according to the Torah, I'm sorry to tell you, but that's not what a mechitza is. According to the Torah, that's not what these things are. And let's say even better.
You know, that's not a bias. That's not a bias iser, right? That's not right. A bias iser if it's through artificial insemination, right? And countless other places.
Right. And the pill and Cholovstam and. But bringing it back,
which I am bringing it back. Whereas Rav Chaim really was not about that. Rav Chaim goes back earlier than Rav Moshe. You know what I'm saying? Rav Chaim is there to sort of go back to the superstructure of Chazal and the Rishonim, and to make them relevant, to make them applicable, and also once again to show you, as you said before, all the answers can be found in Chazal.
That's one of the things I think that, if I may, just get on the soapbox for a little bit. Again, this is, I don't have words. I don't have words to express the pain that I feel in a world that allows Talmid Chachamim to say, it's okay if you know four daf of Shas, as long as you know them well. I think that there's a world out there that says, as long as you're learning all your life, as long as you're dedicated to learning, you're a Ben Torah. I think what Rav Chaim tells us is that it is an obligation for every Talmud Chacham to actually learn the Torah. Like, how could it be that you have Talmid Chachamim who've never opened the Yerushalmi in their life? Unless it's to look up something that Tosfos quotes. Halavai, they look up, you know, they'd learn half of Yerushalmi if they'd look up all those Yerushalmis that Tosfos quotes. Right? That's one of Tosfos's roles in Shas, is to sort of cover the important Yerushalmis you need to know. But not just Yerushalmi. I say, all these, what he tells us is that real Talmidei Chachamim have to be connected to the hekef of Kol HaTorah Kula. And I'm not criticizing Chas V'Shalom, any of them as Spidim. But one of them expressed shock that Reb Chaim called his daily schedule his chayvus. He says, Reb Chaim called these chayvus. And I think what he meant, again, I'm not criticizing this great Talmud Chacham who was Masbeh. I think what he meant was that the shock is not that Reb Chaim considered these as obligations, but that he fulfilled them. They're my obligations too. They're your obligations. I should be doing 8 daf of Shas a day. I should be doing 8 daf of Kisvei Arizal and 8 daf of Kisvei Ramchal. I should be. We're just not on that level, but we don't say those were his chovas and mine are less. I have those chovas too. I'm just unable to pay those debts. And he was rich enough and powerful enough in his Torah that he could pay his. I think that what Rav Chaim should teach the Olam HaTorah, the world of Torah, is to go back to that place where at least once in your life. That's my soapbox.
Yes. Well, put this way, you know, Rav Shach before him did try to use the megaphone that was afforded him as the Gadol Hador, the Manig, to push people to learn up.
They ignored him.
He consistently said that what's happening in the yeshivas, you're going through too much Iyun, you are getting bogged out, you're never going to know, you're never going to have.
Worse than, there's a discouraging, almost like if you have bikiyas, there's a problem with you if you know too much Torah, because by definition you don't have that.
Rav Chaim himself, they couldn't deride him because of the sterling character and because of his unbelievable asmada. But the other chever that were in the Kol Chazanish saw him as a Yotze Doifen, because they were doing Haravanya on the sugis, ala Bir Hashmul and other stuff like the Binas Taniel and other types of svarim like that. That was their machshavas, like Viter of Rav Leib Malin type of, or you know, that's what they were doing. And here was he was doing Tosefta, Sifri, and Safra. He was going through everything, and they looked at it and said, oh, he's different. The Stipler said, you'll see that maybe this is, you know, after the fact, the door is going to need him. I'm not trying to minimize, I'm trying to galvanize your point, which is Rav Chaim is the machayev to learn up, and not just to learn up in the Daf Yomi art scroll, I did it. It's to actually learn and push yourself to know more. To know Torah, to know more, to takadu your to learn your Shalmi. People asked me, "What's up with you that you're teaching your Shalmi now?" I said, "What do you mean? What's up with teaching your Shalmi?"
Right, that's my point.
Why wasn't I teaching your Shalmi 20 years ago?
Why isn't every Talmud Chacham? We're not talking here about a revolution in Torah Daf Yomi getting every yid. I'm speaking here to Gedolei Rabbanim, the leading rabbis of our generation. They should know the Tosefta, the Sefra, the Sefri. They should know the Midrashim. They should be able to quote Medrash Rabbis in the same way that the Achreinim 100 years ago could quote Medrash Rabbis. Not because they have a Bikias, but because they're learning. They're learning. There should be. There's not reference svarim.
As I said, Rav Chaim forces you to filter. Rav Chaim is a dogma of what we need to filter out. And I think that's part, we enjoy, we have such an embarrassment of riches that it's hard to say, look, I just started a Seder in Shiltas. And well, what are you doing Shiltas for? Are you doing Shiltas? Okay, look, I want to go through it, right? It's from the Goinim. We're talking about one of the earliest Sfarim that was ever written.
But the fact that that's even said to you.
That's right. The people, what are you doing learning Shiltas for?
It should have been Halavai. I wish I could join the Shiltas. I should be doing Shiltas. And the person who heard that should have gone, that's it, I'm starting a Seder tomorrow in Shiltas.
Yeah, which I think is really, again, that's part of what I think the legacy of Rav Chaim is. And I want to end today's conversation, with what I believe was a disservice to the man. And that was, propping him, forcing him. And maybe Rav Chaim himself felt he had to do it when it was explained to him how important it was to actually be this iconic Rebbe who would spend, I don't know, was it an hour and a half, 2 hours a day, maybe more. But I knew it was after Mincha when he came back from the later Mishul. That was the time that his
Chayvus... He had the times when he would see people. Right?
His Chayvus pushed away, and that's when everyone came and he gave these brachas. And people, did you go to Rav Chaim for a bracha? You have to find out. I don't know how many, probably the number is close to a million who came for brachas, I would assume, in the last 20 years. The people came to Rav Chaim. I would assume that the number is probably...
It was an unending flow of people.
Right. My feeling is that that was wrong. And, you know, again, there are Rebbes and Tzaddikim, and I needed them too. And I ran to them when I was in Eretz Yisrael. But I didn't feel I'm going to go to Rav Chaim for the bracha. You know, I wanted the bracha. There are Tzaddikim there who are involved in Chochmas HaSoid, who live in a veld of Ruach HaKodesh. You know, if does Rav Chaim have Ruach HaKodesh? Well, he's Torah.
I'm sorry, Adrocha Kodesh. What? He can't be plugged into Torah without
Ruach HaKodesh. He's Torah. He's not the genius who learns Torah. He's not the tzaddik who learns Torah who has Ruach HaKodesh. And he, going to Rav Chaim is be'etzim learning. So maybe what I should do is learn. Instead of going to Rav Chaim for a bracha and for him to tell me, you know, you've got this problem. You've got this problem with your back. You're feeling something in your heart. Learn Eilu Treifus, learn it Be'iyun, learn it with the Shulchan Aruch, and then, okay. So he's telling me to learn Torah, right? So did Rav Chaim need to waste his time to tell people, right? And again, there's going to people are going to jump on me if they hear this and say, "How could you say this?"
I'm going to defend the approach because the truth is, it did diminish on some level by definition his learning, and who knows, maybe we lost a couple of Sfarim because.
Yes.
But the answer is the Jewish people needed it. Klal Yisrael needed it. We needed to see him, to interact with him, and Torah scholars should not have gone to him unless. To go hear bracha about zacha, sit and learn. I mean, if he's going to learn with me b'chavrusa, I'd be the first one in line. But Klal Yisrael as a whole needed him. They needed the address. They needed that, and that's an eis l'asas l'Hashem. It's mamish an eis l'asas l'Hashem. It's there are and times. The people, look, but we needed him.
How about the people that paid money to? How about the people that paid money to the handlers to get
there
their
people
kids?
Who corrupt everything. The people corrupt everything.
To bring my kid in. I don't. Has to hear.
I don't want all the craziness to get in the way of this. But we're talking about the Klal Yisrael coming. You know, everyone's going to have an angle. Everyone's going to take advantage of the situation, whether it's the people on the outside and Nebuch, the people on the inside. There will always be people on the inside. Elisha Hanavi had a Gehazi who had no chelik l'olam haba. He has no portion in the world to come. And Elisha had a Gehazi who was controlling, who was coming in and out.
That's right.
He kicks Gehazi out of the yeshiva, and all of a sudden there's all these new B'nai Nevi'im. Hey, what's going on? Well, Gehazi didn't let us in. This is not a new phenomenon. Right. But you know what? At Elisha's Levaya, no one should have been talking about Gehazi. And we don't need to talk about Gehazi.
Maybe you're right. It bothers me.
I know it bothers me too.
It bothers me that he was used, abused, taken advantage of.
But you know what? With all of that, he still managed to remain completely spotless. He's spotless. And in my eyes, that is when Hashem puts a person in the world and says to him, "You're here, Adam la'amal yulad ashru mishabara l'kam b'tamuda b'yadu." When I want to know what chayvasa ba'ilamai is, it's to be Reb Chaim Kanievsky.
I would say better.
You know what?
Ashrei talmudai shebo kan. Ashrei Talmud Shaboy Khan. He's not Adam Shabo B'Talmud B'Yodai.
He's a me.
He is the Talmud. He is Be'etzem the Talmud.
That's my words. I'm sorry. I don't have the words. But I don't want to be distracted from Reb Chaim, despite the fact that those points are all true. They're true. But you know what? I thought about it when he was in this world, and maybe I'll think about it, you know, after the Shleishim.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now, it's you know, who's gonna replace him? We're Yisaimim Ayinu Ve'Einav. We're mamish. It's Rechav Ufarashav as was quoted. Rechav Yisrael. We lost the Ner Yisrael. Patish Achazak, it's whatever words there are to express pain, all of them apply and they're all insufficient.
And again, the obvious message I think has to be is that, Medarf Leonin. I think if Rav Chaim alone would say, I think if I hear his voice from Naomi saying, okay, word. All right, learn. They learned.
Learn.
Learn. Okay. My svarim, other svarim, learn. And basically, yeah. And do it. Use Rav Chaim as a dugma of how to learn. Not just hasmada and chiyuv. I would say also to take his, it would be a great thing for the next month for people to take his svarim that he wrote and be kovei shiurim in order to get a sense of what is there.
Arches Yosher. Everyone should learn Arches Yosher.
Start for Mutzer. Or Arches Yosher for Mutzer Seder. Yes.
Yeah, no, I would say, I just think it's universally readable.
Also,
when I learned it, I was actually, you know, I did my epicursus and I looked up every Maram. It's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. You look up these, and you know, in one place in the Sefer, any zeicher ke'es mekaymai, right? So the, you know, that bothered me. In one place in Arches Yosher, he says, I don't remember where I saw this, and I asked the big Talmud Chacham, and he said that the Reb Chaim knew exactly where it was, but he didn't want to quote the Sefer. And so he says, so I said a pshat, and any zocher doesn't have to mean I don't remember, and any zocher means
I don't want to say it. Right. I don't want to say it, right?
Every I'm not going to be masker it, right? It's a double entendre. But it's unbelievable in this tiny, thin little book. Right?
I would also say, despite the cottage industry that I sort of abhor of people who used Rav Chaim's three-word answers to create the Derech Sicha and the Shevas Harav and many of these other svarim, which are not, look, buy them and use them and give parnasa to the Talmud Chacham, the nice person who got access to Rav Chaim, and believe me, that's a good thing to have, and et cetera. But I think that the Sefer, there's a Sefer called Tefillah L'Moshe, where a person was able to, he had his whole shtick l'chtoira on davening, and he showed it to Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim commented, and there's a very nice biurim from Rav Chaim on Tefillah. And you can it's a farganigan to actually see what Rav Chaim writes. He also says in the beginning, like sort of a paraphrase of Anan the Karite, he says, look, Tfilo, you don't have this is the pshat. The siddur is different than the psikta, than the midrashim, than the sefta yerushalmi, where this is the biur. In tfilo, you have a right to be mafarish shalek if you reshain him. You have a right to make it accessible to you.
That was part of the Anshikna Sagadela's plan.
Right. And therefore, all these aspects of tfilo, you could have pirushim amischachim, and you get a sense from Rav Chaim where he's going from. And I think he gives. If you get a hold of the Tefillah Moshe, I think your davening will be enhanced by the Havana, let me say it better, the quicksilver instantaneous Havana that Rav Chaim had. In other words, the man who wrote the work, this Moshe who wrote the work, this is what he worked on. He was Omel, I came up with this beer. He showed it to Rav Chaim. He took the Sefer for a couple of minutes, and in seconds, his mind had already suggested alternatives.
Personally, in my lifetime, asked me to talk about him on Shabbos, and my response was, "I'm not ready yet. He's not. We're still on in it. Kali Yisrael was still on in on Shabbos, maybe after the Shiva."
My feeling is, comparing him to my Godel Rav Moshe, I feel, although Rav Moshe, you can definitely bring into your life because it's nogeya and so many psukim, but I think you can be machnas Rav Chaim into yourself by, again, he's so accessible. You know, all you need to do is really, again, put this way, he's such a part of Torah itself that, again, going back to my original theme, he enters into you with such ease that's the siman of Torah. Chacham Avadia, you have to get into the mindset about what Chacham Avadia is doing. The Chazon Ish, unfortunately, because of the diktuk and because of the strength of his thinking, you got to be in the right brain to learn the Chazon Ish. You better be concentrating or you're not going to get what the Chazon Ish is saying. Rav Chaim was gifted that even if you're a shtiklin meichin de katnos or wherever you are, go to the Sfarim. This is what I would say. I don't know if it's an Eitzah for you, but for maybe some of our listeners, go to those Sfarim and not just be making base medrash al Kvaro, allow Rav Chaim Leipnach Shmaryo Yosef Chaim. The truth is, if you're shomer, if you allow this to be a mishmeres within you of the incredible of his works, then that will be Yosef Chaim within yourself. So Shmaryo Yosef Chaim, that's what you can do.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please take a moment to share this or any of the many episodes available on our platform with friends in order to help grow our community. Until next time, Shalom.